Dr. Sandra Teresa Hyde is a university professor in the Department of Anthropology at McGill University in Montreal. She's also a social activist. A fluent speaker of Chinese, Mandarin, Dr. Hyde conducts research on health, medicine, and development in China, and since 1983 has spent a considerable amount of time there doing fieldwork. Sandra Teresa Hyde, can you lay out the case against Apple products?
Yes, Apple Computer has kind of moved from being the darling of the computer industry to being one of its black marks for three reasons. One, most recently in the last couple of years, it has been tagged by many labor groups, particularly in China, for its labor rights violations. Two, it's been tagged by environmental groups for its poor electronics record, including receiving a poor marks from Greenpeace's Green Electronics Report Card. And three, for not upholding its high standards of social responsibility that the company have on their corporate social responsibility page.
How did you get involved in this issue, Sandra?
I've been reading over the last couple of years some kind of very short pieces that have come out of mainly the British Guardian, which has been reporting on stories of poisoning of workers at some of the plants in China. And in January of this year, an environmental activist I know in Beijing called Li Bo, who is director of China's Friends of Nature, contacted me about what could be done in North America to appeal to North American consumers, particularly of Apple products, to put pressure on Apple's corporate management about their health, worker, and environmental safety violations.
This is so upsetting, isn't it? Because there's a huge demand for these gadgets and computers.
Yes, I think many of us who are loyal customers of Apple, and I have to say I'm also a loyal Apple user, we thought they had wonderfully witty commercials. They created this kind of cool, hip, trendy user against the conventionality of Microsoft users. That was actually one of their big ad campaigns. They have brilliant user-friendly tools, very nice aesthetic sensibility. And one of the reasons that their share of the market has increased is they have beautifully designed machines. So Apple is sort of moved from being this slick, cute underdog of the computer industry to its top dog. And now with this has come the same old policies of all corporations. They cut corners, and in cutting corners, they have done harm more than just to the environments that they manufacture in. In May 2011, Apple had made $227 billion U.S. dollars, putting it as the king of the industry. And one of the ways they did this is they ditched its proprietary hardware. They equipped all of their Macs with Intel guts, meaning that they are building on the backs of a lot of free open source community built software, at the same time charging three times the price of your average PC.
Just to give the listeners an idea, Sandra, what's the profit margin say for a cell phone?
Well, it's a little bit hard to say because cell phones, there's a wide range of what they can be charged. But according to the South China Morning Post that recently did an article on this, if we look at the distribution of profits in the supply chain for the iPhone 4, which is their latest phone, each iPhone 4 sells for about $600 US. And Foxconn, which is one of the companies that has been targeted most, it's Apple's primary China supplier, and other Chinese assemble companies receive about $7 US for assembling the iPhone. So when you look at costs, iPhone comes up with around $400 profit per iPhone.
And of course, I suppose that we don't know how much the actual workers get, do we, that assemble the iPhones?
Interestingly enough, in China, one of the reasons that we've had such a huge out-migration of workers from rural China into these midland cities and also into special economic zones is they actually are paid more when they work in these factories than they would when they were at home. Now, with the worldwide economic downturn, there has actually been not just the out-migration from rural communities, but a return of people going back home because factories are being shut. So it's a complicated process.
You were just talking about the bad conditions in the factories. What, if anything, has Apple done to right these wrongs?
Well, interestingly enough, even though these wrongs have been brought to the forefront of worldwide media since about 2008, Apple is just now in 2011, according to Marketplace China bureau chief Rob Schmitz, it is finally coming clean on its labor violations and its violations of supplier responsibility. And I just want to read one quick statement about what Apple's supplier responsibility says, and it's pretty generic. On their social responsibility page, it just says Apple is committed to ensuring the highest standards of social responsibility wherever our products are made, and we insist that our suppliers provide safe working conditions, treat workers with dignity and respect, and use environmentally responsible manufacturing processes. What Apple did do is they sent their chief operating officer, Tim Cook, to their Foxconn factories, and they interviewed 1,000 workers. And they found multiple violations in their own reports in terms of child labor violations, in terms of violations of using certain kinds of chemicals. And because there have been high rates of suicide at some of Foxconn's plants, Apple established a 24-hour care line for Foxconn employees. One of the things that Apple had done, and I'm not a biochemist, is they switched from using alcohol as a drying agent in making their, I think it was their iPods and their iPads, and they started using a chemical called N-hexane, which is a known poison, which is a cleaning device for touch screens. And it was not only poisoning employees, but disabling them. And on top of that, they had huge violations in terms of child labor laws. And Apple found children as young as 12 years old working in 10 of their factories. And Apple did terminate their contract with those particular suppliers.
Now, why aren't we hearing very much about this in our mainstream media?
Well, I think there's a number of reasons we haven't heard much about it. One, I think Apple has a kind of glossed reputation for being a social responsible company. Two, there's so many other things that are going on in China in terms of labor and the environment. And three, I think there is a healthy dose, or unhealthy dose, I should actually say, of xenophobia when it comes to China. That it's much easier to blame the Chinese for what's going on in China instead of looking at our own relationship to globalization and global consumer and production chains.
As consumers, Sandra, what can we do to change the situation? I mean, do you think that we should be boycotting their products?
Well, interestingly enough, this is the same question that Liu Bo asked me when he first raised the issue. And I think out of all of the demands, I think Chinese environmental groups, and there is a report that was published January this year by 36 different environmental groups called The Other Face of Apple. And I think what they've called for, which is similar, which has happened to the Nike sports supplier boycott, is to say, we need Apple to clean up their act, and we need to hold them accountable to the corporate social responsibility that they say that they have. And to do that, they are not at this time calling for a boycott of Apple, although I imagine there are groups out there calling for a boycott of Apple. And some of the best recommendations that I've seen have come out of a blog site called All Roads Lead to China. And they make 7 demands to Apple, and I'm just going to briefly mention them because I think they're important. One is to say, okay, there's already a model out there for cleaning up your act, and that's Nike. So Apple should contact Nike and find out what they're doing. Two is to really get what the site called Get Your Boots on the Ground. You really need to bring in not just Tim Cook, but a lot of inspectors from the U.S. into Chinese plants, and not just after a major catastrophe, but on a regular basis, and to not let local managers just manage things, which has been proven to be notoriously ineffective in China's hyper-development markets. Three, invite in third parties to inspect, so businesses for social responsibility, NGOs that deal with labor and environmental issues, the media, and do the right thing. You know, at the end of the line, it's very easy to blame Foxconn, but Apple is where the lawyers' guns are going to end up, and it's important that Apple take responsibility for this. And to make material improvements, you know, to move forward, it means breaches of supplier responsibility must not be allowed to go forward, and to bring them into in-house Apple management discussions and to do something about it. And I think one of the things that I think most of us were most distressed about Apple is that, you know, Apple has been a very introverted firm. They make cool toys for the world's middle classes, and they have not been made accountable. In fact, what many of us found out, that a lot of piece companies that make PCs were much more open about the chemicals they use, their labor practices, than Apple. So we're calling for Apple to really open up. I think it comes down to an investment, and it means investing in a process of social responsibility and investing in its workers. And finally, I think as consumers, we can no longer treat China as what one person has said, our kind of personal McDonald's drive-through, that we need to keep an eye on the company and put pressure on them to be responsible, to hold up to their standards. And, you know, a lot of the guys who started Apple came out of the 60s. You know, they were radicals in their own right at the time, and they need to be reminded of this.
Sandra, can you tell us a little more about this company, Foxconn, in China?
Foxconn, interestingly enough, is Apple's primary supplier. It's actually a Taiwanese company that has been under scrutiny for almost the last 3 years for massive worker rights violations. And it really came to the worldwide media when workers in their plants were committing suicide related to highly toxic chemical use. And also violence to keep workers in line. In other words, they were made to work overtime with no pay. Those workers that tried to unionize were beat up. And interestingly enough, this week, Tech World reported that they're planning to close all their factories in China and suggesting that they're going to relocate back to Taiwan because there was a major explosion that occurred in their Chengdu factory. Interestingly enough, Foxconn is saying they're going to sell the local dormitories back to the local government, and then they will have to be made responsible to deal with suicides and worker conditions. And also along these lines, you know, there have been several different kinds of media coverage of this. And in Berkeley, California, where I'm from, Berkeley Repertory Theater in January presented a very interesting monologue by a guy named Mike Daisy called The Agony and Ecstasy of Stephen Jobs. And it followed not only his rise, but also the underbelly of Apple, because he himself visited several factories in China where he found appalling working conditions. Kids as young as 12 working 16-hour days, threatened with imprisonment if they tried to form a union.
Stephen Jobs is the president of Apple.
You know, poisoned workers in China have also demanded a formal apology from the Mac maker. And interestingly enough, Foxconn has also said they've been pulling out of China because they're now worried about corruption scandals about workers' families seeking high compensation packages for workers that have been harmed. And the packages, surprisingly enough, have been quite high. They've been between 12 and 21,000 US, which is many times someone's salary in China. And victims have asked Apple to send reps to listen and are still seeking adequate redress. I believe at one of their factories, there were something like 100 out of 137 employees left the factory with compensation packages. In another factory, 45 out of 83 people that were building iPhones and iPods weren't paid overtime. In another factory, 23 weren't even being given the Chinese minimum wage. Also, secondarily, they've been attacked for being discriminatory. discriminating against employees for their ethnicity, for their disabilities, or their political leanings.
And then, of course, as we know, there's always the possibility of long-term health effects.
Yes, as we've seen through many industrial accidents around the world, that many of these chemicals can have long-term neurological, psychological, and physical effects.
As consumers, Sandra, we are in rather an awkward moral, ethical position, aren't we? In that everything that we buy is made in China.
Yeah, I think that was the environmentalist a year back or so who tried to spend a month not buying anything made in China, and they found it virtually impossible. But the other side of this that I think we often forget, and I think it's one of the reasons why we haven't heard about this in the media, is that we often don't hear the side of activists in China that are actually doing something about this. And the activists that really got involved in exposing the whole Apple crisis were environmental groups in China. And I think one of the things that I find maddening as a China specialist is we get very little coverage about the success stories in China and very little coverage about what Chinese activists are doing to change these conditions, because as there are just as many protests across China in terms of labor and the environment, there are just as many groups in China and people really trying to make a difference.
Where can listeners go for more information, Sandra?
I think there's several places that people can go for more information. You can look at the websites of the two Chinese environmental groups that I mentioned, the Beijing's Institute of Public and Environmental Affairs, China's Friends of Nature, Canada Greenpeace, china.org.cn, the blog site All Roads Lead to China. And in terms of the mainstream media in China, you can also go to the South China Morning Post. The British Guardian has actually done, I think, more coverage on this in the English language press than anybody else. And also to look at the report that came out called The Other Face of Apple that was released by 36 environmental groups.
I'm Rosemary Wally in Montreal.